And welcome back. Some months ago on this program, we told you about a project called Beautiful Streets of America. It's aimed at revitalizing America's streets named after Martin Luther King. In this week in which we honor Dr. King, we thought we'd revisit proposals for Martin Luther King Drive in St. Louis. And as it turns out, the local project is alive and well and moving ahead nicely with some interesting projects. Joining us, as they did last April, for this update, Melvin White, President and CEO of Beloved Streets of America, Derek Lauer of Lauer Architecture Progressive Design. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Yes, sir.
Melvin, let me ask you to kind of give us, in synopsis form, why this whole project got started in the first place.
Oh, the whole Beloved Streets mission got started approximately 9 years ago with the looking at the Delmar Loop, the revitalization activities that were being placed on that street at the time. Mr. Joe Edwards, who's done a wonderful job with it today. But once upon a time, Delmar used to look kind of like Martin Luther King, you know. So just looking at the activities of being revitalized and going a mile down the road and seeing the dilapidation and the prostitution and drugs that was going on, we figured that was not fitting that for a man of Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy remembered in that light.
When we spoke last time, the word we used was disrespect.
Yes, it's totally disrespectful, you know.
But this is taking place in a lot of Martin Luther King Drive streets, boulevards across the country.
Sir.
Why?
There's over 750 to 800 streets, and the majority of them run straight through the urban core of a lot of these cities. And we're trying to find that out right now. Why was this being placed on such a negative aspect on such a legendary hero name? So we're out to change that with our national MLK Street Initiative, where we're hoping to go to various cities and revitalize and bring beauty back in honor to these streets that bears his name.
From what I can gather, that St. Louis will be something of a template for a national
effort. Yes, sir. This is the focal point. This is where we're from. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're based right here on 5901 Dr. Martin Luther King here in St. Louis, and we're hoping to turn this into a pilot project for the nation to follow. So,
Derek Lauer, you've got some pretty good ideas on the book. Give us some sense, and then we'll get specific about what you're thinking about.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, we feel that this is an opportunity for St. Louis to really step forward and provide an example of how to reverse some of the urban decline that's happened in these neighborhoods. And we feel that we can do this through sort of a simple three-step process. First, with just things that can be done for elbow grease, just putting in some effort to board up the vacant buildings, litter pickup, cut back some of the overgrowth, vandalism removal, some of these types of things. And then secondly, we have some projects that are going to be renovating some of the existing buildings. And part of this is going to be doing urban agriculture and providing other economic stimulus in the neighborhood. And then the third part of it is that we'd eventually be creating an entertainment district that's right there between Keeneland and Goodfellow, and that would be something similar to what the Loop is, but focusing around African-American culture, a place where you can go for food, music, crafts, and that type of thing.
So the effort is more than just aesthetics. You're looking well beyond that.
Right, and then all these things are combined together, because in order to start to ultimately have a successful entertainment district that's of interest to people who want to do capitalist development, it has to be feasible by the neighborhood being cleaned up, and that only happens through the neighborhood having self-esteem and pride, which will only happen through better job and educational opportunities. So you can't do one part of sort of providing a whole holistic approach to all the things the neighborhood needs to be successful.
Melvin, any project of any scope costs money. What sort of financial situation are you looking at for these kinds of improvements?
We're looking for federal grants as well as local and state grants that are out there. And we're also looking at private donations as well. And we're checking into a lot of that. And we're hoping to hold St. Louis, the corporations, to get involved and just kind of get an effort from the St. Louisans to help donate to some of these projects that we have, you know. So we're looking into grants and private foundations as well. It's contributing.
Yeah, and see, there's going to be several areas that we can get funding from. So one is like historic tax credits for fixing up the building. And again, there's federal grants and some city support that we're seeking. But then also we have a whole series of volunteers and school interns. And then in addition to that, that we feel that we can get corporate sponsorship for some very specific pieces.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that caught my eye with regard to what you would like to do and are planning to do is this issue of hydroponics, which we've been hearing a lot more about lately.
Yes,
there are a couple of ideas that have been floated in St. Louis. Derek, let me start with you with regard to exactly what you're thinking about for MLK Drive.
Right. And what we feel is this is a project that kind of touches on all these things. By looking at urban farming as part of our development, we feel that this will touch on urban decline, suburban sprawl, sustainability, food production, job creation, and educational opportunities. And we're going to do this by having first a small facility and then move into a second larger facility. And what we would be doing is producing lettuce and tomatoes. And one of the things we're negotiating right now is a partnership with Washington University so that them and with their food service provider, which is Bon Appetit, that Washington University would be a purchaser of the vegetables. And so in that way, it's kind of the anchor piece for all of our transformation of the neighborhood. And so what we'll be doing is using hydroponics, which is a nutrient film technique, well, basically where you run nutrient-rich water over the roots of plants, and then you can grow lettuce and tomatoes, arugula, basil, herbs, these types of things. And we'll be providing a building that's right there on Martin Luther King that's a small startup facility for that. And we plan on having solar panels and wind turbines as part of that to offset the electricity. And so the idea is that this facility would also not only be producing food for the community and provide a marketplace, but also provides an educational opportunity to learn about high-tech farming and ways of converting buildings as well as learning about solar panels and wind turbines. So we'd be partnering with the schools and the universities.
Melvin, this would require an awful lot of effort. If you're like I am, you probably didn't hear the word hydroponics until relatively recently. How do you describe it to people who ask?
Well, when they ask about hydroponics, I tell them it's a new wave way of growing, farming, actually, because you can grow it year-round. It doesn't matter about the climate. You have indoor facility versus outdoor facility. And I also say that it's really ran by lighting and water systems. That's how you and it's organically grown as well. There's no chemicals, no pesticides in this. And I tell them because a lot of the food that's in the urban community are full of pesticides and germs. A lot of steroids and a lot of these things are being pumped into a lot of vegetables that are nearby that the neighborhood are consuming right now. So this is a great way to eat healthy organically, and it's right there in the neighborhood for the community to come purchase once we can get it up and going.
And create a generation of urban farmers,
yes,
I guess is what
urban
you're looking
farmers.
At.
It's a matter of providing an adaptive reuse for a lot of these buildings because these neighborhoods, though in decline, these actual structures are an asset that they have that can be turned into something that is a positive influence for the community from the nutrition standpoint plus job creation. But we feel that this project also allows us to do things like as we reclaim the water off of the hydroponic system, that we can use some of that nutrient-enriched water to then grow ornamental plants that we would then be putting along the streetscape. So it's that sort of bigger approach.
My impression also from some of the material you sent in advance of this get-together is the fact that you mentioned Washington University in a partnership and that actually the produce produced hydroponically, I guess, would be purchased by Washington. You just explain that for me.
Yeah, and exactly, because they Bon Appetit that runs the food service portion of Washington University, they have several cafeterias and restaurant-type things that are on the WashU campus specifically, but they also operate out of a few other institutions around St. Louis. And so they use quite a bit of lettuce and tomatoes, but when it gets to be a cold season out, that they then find themselves having to purchase produce from California and Mexico, which then takes diesel fuel to truck it in here. So WashU has expressed a desire to reduce their carbon footprint, and one of the ways that they can do that is by purchasing wintertime vegetables from a local source. And right now, there is not really a facility in St. Louis that has that capacity, and so they see a vested interest in helping us to succeed with this project, because then it helps them reach their goals for sustainability.
And Melvin, we get away from those pale pink tomatoes.
Yeah, that's right.
We get during the wintertime.
Right.
What are the specific properties that you're talking about on Del Mar for the transition to these other enterprises?
Along MLK.
Yeah, MLK. Well,
what did I say?
You said Del Mar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. On we're looking at 5901 Dr. Martin Luther King to be. It's right now, that's where our headquarters is located at, but it's also four apartment buildings, and it's also three storefronts that we hope to turn into a culinary school for prisoners who gets out of prison, mm-hmm. as well as they can live upstairs and hopefully have the next building be a produce. Once we produce the vegetables, we'll have a produce store right next to it. So it's actually a big building that can be used for multiple purposes, because at the back end of it is where the hydroponics will be produced. And we're also working on our Legacy Park, which is right across the street from the office on 5916 Dr. Martin Luther King, where we're hoping to raise funds for the Legacy Park. And the Legacy Park will consist of honoring a lot of our heroes and civil rights, entertainment, sports, and so on and so forth, with plaques and we feel like the culture has been lost with our youth today. So we want to bring back the culture and history standpoint, and it also be a place to gather and rally and just kind of bring out issues that are affecting our community. And down the street on 5843 is a building that stands we hope to turn into a transitional home for veterans. And those are some of our first four projects that we're working on. So we really need to galvanize the St. Louis behind us so we can start raising money to get some of these problems, some of these things taken care of in the community. So.
What sort of feedback are you getting from the community itself? I'm not talking about potential donors. I'm talking about people who live there.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of support from the community because we're engaging with them on a weekly basis. We're, like I say, we've given food from Washington University. We donate it back to the community. We're also trying to change the mindset of the residents over there. You know, first, you have to start with the mindset of the community. You have to try to change their mindset by offering them opportunities. So that's what we're trying to do, job opportunities and so on and so forth.
And there's already been visible signs of these little steps of progress because of we've already successfully completed some litter pickup and some board up, some graffiti removal. And just seeing the activity on the street there has already been encouraging to the people that we encounter on the sidewalks there. They all come up to us and say how great it is to see anything of any kind happening, and we're already seeing those positive effects.
Fostering pride is really an important component in this, isn't it? Because people, when they begin to be proud of their community, will keep it better care.
And one of the things that we're doing is that we're partnering with a local artist, a fellow Thomas Sleet, that as we're doing some of the board up and securing of the vacant building, that we're using images of Martin Luther King to create murals out of these posters, and then putting inspirational quotes from some of his speeches along some of the buildings. So then it starts to be, again, a reinforcing visual impact that as you're going down MLK, you see these phrases of encouragement and things from Dr. King.
Melvin, what other kinds of businesses might you be looking at? You've mentioned a couple with regard to the culinary school and the transition home and that sort of thing. What else?
Well, we have things for daycares as well.
We have the daycare centers. We're going to have museums. We're going to have galleries. We're
Food sources.
Yeah, even though we've talked with the Scott Joplin House about having
a museum
that has a piano, a music training facility there. But we're also working with one of Trinity Child Care Development, and they have some job placement and training programs that go along with it. And then we're also going to be encouraging retail stores and new restaurants and these types of things. So, again, on the short end, it's a matter of fixing up some of these old buildings to turn them into entrepreneurial opportunities.
What sort of political feedback are you getting?
Well, the city of St. Louis is definitely supporting us. They have given us a city proclamation showing their support. We've spoken with Ms. Maddie Moore from Clara McCaskill's office. They're expressing a lot of support behind us. And we're pretty much getting the city behind us with this.
The ball is rolling.
Yeah, it's rolling.
We've had
right
some
now.
Conversations with Lewis Reed and the chairman of the, you know, who's the chairman of the Board of Aldermen, and we've reached out to Mayor Slay's office, and we understand there's some federal funding coming St. Louis's way, and so we're trying to position ourselves to be the organization that they can go to help implement some of these things that they've already stated their goals that we are in line with already.
Do you have any projections as to the number of people you could potentially put to work as a result of the plans that you have at this point?
Well, it's hard to say, but what we're looking at is not only providing actual jobs, but providing entrepreneurial opportunities. And then in addition to that is providing the job training. So I think that those are some of the components. But we'll be able to quantify that with the once we get the larger hydroponic facility going. We're talking about the old JCPenney building, which is 80,000 square feet. And we think at the point that that's running that there'll be 20, 25 jobs involved with that piece specifically.
We just have about a minute left. What's the timeline on all of this? What are you looking at?
Well, we're looking to do the hydroponic facility construction startup now in February, take about 3 months, get the equipment set up and start tweaking the system and have plants produced by August. And be ready to deliver produce to Wash U for the semester in fall.
Do you have the financial wherewithal to get started that quickly, Mel?
We're sure trying right now. We've sent out for grants, and we have things rolling right now. So we're hoping to be able to pull this off.
And we have a volunteer labor, and we've got a contractor that's willing to work with us. And so I think we'll be able to take the first
step. So you really are in pretty good shape.
In motion.
People like to get involved somehow or learn more. Is there some place they can turn, Mel?
Yes, they can log on to our website at belovedstreets.org. That's BelovedStreets.org and the MLKDrive.org. And you can reach us, give us some feedback. And if you want to donate, you got a donate button also there. So
one of our things that we've been saying is MLK also stands for materials, labor, and knowledge. And those are things that we need. If you have materials to give us, if you have labor, if you have knowledge and skills, we'll take it.
All right. Well, we'll put that information you've just relayed to us, Melvin, on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Thanks a lot.
So folks can get at that way, too. Melvin White, thanks so much for being with us. Did you want to say something?
I just wanted to leave a number as well that you can reach me
very quickly.
Personally, 314-814-1043. Thank you for having us on today, though.
We'll get
appreciate
it on the website.
You.
Melvin
yes, sir.
White, thank you.
Thank you very
and
much.
Derek Lara, thank
thanks
you. Good luck with the project.
Appreciate it.
We'll have our eyes on you throughout
all right.
this.
That'll
thanks.
Work. Bye-bye.
And we ask you to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, and he'll talk with St. Louis Symphony President and CEO Fred Bronstein about the state of the organization and the Symphony's 2014-15 season, which will be announced at a town hall meeting this evening. He'll also talk with former Seinfeld writer Pat Hazel about his one-man production, The Wonder Bread Years. And we'll also take a look at the Kirkwood native Greg Warren and talk about his work as a comedian. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about current events pertaining to the law with our legal roundtable panel. Archive versions of this program are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. The program is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, production assistants from Camille Phillips, Aaron Doris, Spencer Reed, executive producer is Robert Peterson. It's a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.